friends, tonight we are turning to Joshua 24, and we'll be reading from the verse 14. Joshua 24 and from verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And our subject for tonight is benefits of faithful service to God. Benefits of faithful service to God. When we serve the Lord faithfully, what are the benefits? That's what we are going to learn tonight. And tonight we'll be looking at three things. We'll be looking at what is faithful service to God, what are the benefits, and how to practice these things. Having known them, how do we put them into practice? To serve God, what do we mean to serve God faithfully? To serve God is to love Him with all that we are, obeying and enjoying Him forever. Because we were created to serve the Lord and enjoy Him forever and ever. That is the purpose that God brought us into this world. Serving God is what we were made to do as His creatures. He did not create us for our own, but to serve Him, to come and serve Him. The passage that we just read from Joshua, we'll look through them and see how they apply to us in our days. And really, one of the important parts of the gospel, what Christ has come to do for us, is that because we are created to serve God, and because sin came in, we can't serve God in sin. So Christ came to deliver us. As the people from Egypt, God said, go and tell Pharaoh to let you go, to worship me, to leave Egypt and to go and worship me. So God calling them from Egypt was not to call them to come and live on their own and do what they wanted, but to come and worship Him. In the same way, we are also saved. Christ came to die on the cross of Calvary to save us, so that we can also go and worship God and serve God, because that's the purpose of our creation. So one of the important aspects of the gospel is how we are cleansed and to be able to serve God, because we can't serve God in our sins. The passage that we just read, if we want to look at the background, it was taken from Joshua. We know Joshua, which is a continuation of the history books, like the Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and so on. Then this Joshua comes in to continue. And it was written at a time when the different tribes of Israel were crossing the Jordan River to the land of Canaan. As we were teaching our children this afternoon, we were taken from Egypt to the land of Canaan. And we all know the mighty hand that the Lord used to take them out of that place to Canaan. We know how they ended up in Egypt. We all know the story. How there was famine and Jacob had to send his children to Egypt, where Joseph was already there, because his brother had sold him, and by God's providence, he had become the prime minister and in charge of all the foods, and the brothers had to go there, and now he had to feed them, he had to give them some of the food. And then through that, the whole family had to move to Egypt. Jacob and all his children had to come and live in Egypt. They were there being given a very good treatment until all the pharaohs who knew Moses and the whole story died, and then they were turned into slaves. We all know that story. And God had to go and redeem them, buy them back from slavery with a mighty hand. You saw how he brought them. That's where they crossed the Red Sea. He opened the Red Sea for them to pass through. He led them by a pillar of cloud during the day, a pillar of fire during the night. All this God did to guide them to Canaan. And that's what God is also doing for us. We have come to redeem us from the power of sin and Satan and ourselves, and taking us to heaven, guiding us, protecting us, and then leading us. So this is the story that Joshua was telling the people, reminding them, because Joshua was now very, very old. He was getting to the time of his death. So before his death, he called them and was telling them, reminding them of all what the Lord has done for them, and then why they should also give their lives to God because of what he has done for them. Like I'm saying, he did not redeem them for nothing or for their own, but he redeemed them for them to come and serve them. In the same way, we have also been redeemed to come and serve the Lord. But while they were living in that promised land, you know, the Canaanites, they were still there, and their lifestyle was a lifestyle of immorality and idolatry. In fact, their culture was so corrupt that even in their religion that they were promoting sexual immorality, prostitution, and their prophets were murdering children and all that. The people that were living around them. So Joshua had to warn them before his death that they have to be careful about all those people. So he reminded them of God's faithfulness, and therefore God also demands faithfulness from the people. That is why we have our title for this day, Faithful Service to God. Benefits of faithful service to God. So how does this apply to us today? Like I've just said, we have also been redeemed from our sinful state, from bondage, and we have been redeemed by God, and therefore we have to serve him. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 and 19 says, we were not redeemed with corruptible things. We were redeemed with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that was the same sign that was shown when God was going to punish the Egyptians for the last time by going to kill all their firstborns, that they should sprinkle the blood on their doorpost. And the blood must be that of a lamb which was spotless. And that typified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He had to come and die to also save us from that situation. So in the same way as Joshua was telling them to stay away from idolatry and other evil practices, we as Christians are also being reminded to do the same. We have been redeemed, and we must be minded that we were redeemed to serve our God. And that should be our focus. So, as I said, there are so many benefits from serving the Lord faithfully. And one interesting thing is that anything that God asks us to do are almost always for our own benefit, not for him. Obviously, God is all-sufficient. God doesn't need us to do anything. Anything that God wants us to do, he wants us to do for our own betterment. And we'll see it very soon as we go through this sermon. Before we go on, let's look at Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. Exodus 23, verse 25. And he said, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee, They shall nothing cut their young, nor be barren. In thy land, the number of the days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn away unto thee, turn back unto thee. You see, this is the promise that God has given to the people, that if they serve him, this is what he will also do for them. And this applies to us. If we serve God sincerely from our hearts, all this will be done to us. Let's go through what he is saying here. He said, he will bless your bread and water. He will take away sickness from your bed. There will be no miscarriage. There will be no barrenness. There will be no premature death. You will have long life and fulfill destiny. Your enemies will turn away from you. This is, in summary, what God was telling the people who will serve him sincerely, who will faithfully serve him. So here, right from the beginning, we are seeing a great benefit of serving the Lord sincerely from your heart. God has told them that he will bless their bread and their water, meaning that he will provide the necessities of life. He will provide for them everything that they need to live as human beings. He will give them, and he will give them in abundance. He also promised good health. You see, he said he will remove sickness from amongst them. And much of this will be because they are serving the Lord, their living standards will be improved, and therefore sickness will also come down. And he also promised that they will be fruitful, because there will be nobody miscarrying or barren in your land. Verse 26. And along this, the Lord also proclaimed that he will fulfill the number of their days, that they will live to the number of days that he has given them. It means there won't be any premature death. So, in summary, this is what God promised the people who will serve him faithfully. We'll see a few more of them, the benefits of a faithful service to God. When we go to Job chapter 36, verse 11, he also talked about the profitability of serving God. And he said, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. If they faithfully serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Friends, I want to encourage you to give your all to serve the Lord, because he has done a lot. In our last hymn that we sang, look at what Christ has done for us, and what have we done for him? He laid down his life for us so that we can be reconciled to God. And what have we done for him? That was what the hymn was saying. And the hymn 34, the last stanza of hymn 34, is, if you make his work your delight, if you make God's work your delight, he will also take care of yours. So you seek him first, as Matthew 23 says, if you seek him first, his kingdom and his righteousness, all other things will fall into their place. So serving God sincerely from your heart has so many benefits for ourselves, not even for God. So if they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. So I want to encourage you, friends, to serve the Lord sincerely. Remember what President John Kennedy said during his inauguration around in the 60s, somewhere there, when he said, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And I've heard so many heads of state quoting this same thing. And it's the same thing with us. We should not just ask for what God can do for us. As for God, he has shown his love already. But what are we doing for him? What can we also do for him? Now, let's see other benefits that we get from faithful service to the Lord. In the first place, it will help us develop our faith. As individuals living in this wicked and sinful world, we sometimes get discouraged by so many things that happen in our life. But our faith will remain strong when we focus on God. When in this life our focus is on God, whatever you are doing, you are putting God first, it will strengthen your faith in Him. And we know what faith in God can do. Christ said it can move mountains. He said it can make impossibilities possible. This is where our Calvary friends pick from. And they say that they can command things to go. They were quoting Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, when Christ said, if your faith is like a mustard seed, you can tell to this mountain to move from here to there and it will go. And literally, they think that they had, when they also attain that faith, they can command whatever they want to go and it will go. But that's not what Christ is saying. You must have faith in something. You can't have just faith in vain. Faith is in something. But our faith should be in God. But the more we serve Him, the more our faith increases. If you don't serve Him, we will never see His works in our lives. So any small thing will be discouraged and it will dampen down our faith. So it is very important that if you serve the Lord sincerely, faithfully, your faith will develop. Now, the third benefit that we can talk about is that you will be serving with other like-minded believers, people who have also been redeemed from the power of sin and have become believers. They are the ones that you are going to serve with. And serving with other Christians, you have strong bonds and friendship. Can you imagine all of us are together? Sometimes, I remember when we were in TMBC, we meet together and we invite ourselves to go on visitation because we're many. And we're sharing our problems as we move along. So we know where we can help each other. So we develop strong bonds as we serve the Lord together. And we can pray and talk about our faith and their problems as we worship and serve the Lord and serve Him sincerely together. You can grow spiritually by learning from one another, because we are with like-minded people who have also attained that kind of faith, people who have been redeemed from the power of sin and have become children of God. They are the people that you are serving with. So whilst you are serving with them, your faith will also increase. And now the next benefit that we can think about is that you will be contributing to the advancement of God's kingdom. The kingdom of God will have to advance. How will it advance if you don't get involved? And you can imagine the benefit in serving God sincerely, spending your time for God. Don't take God's work as a part-time. Take your work rather as a part-time and take God's work as full-time, and you will see the power of God in your life. So you are helping to advance His kingdom. You can imagine helping to advance the kingdom of God. Christ, when He taught us how to pray, He taught us about how the kingdom. He said, let your kingdom come. We should pray for the kingdom of God to come. And if you are involved in advancing that kingdom, you can imagine the blessings. So you will be advancing the kingdom of God. And as a follower of Christ, you have the opportunity to do that. And then through you, God will impart to other people knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And therefore, in doing that, you are able to expand God's work. God's work in this world now, we are in the gospel age. God is gathering his people. How are you involved? How are you getting involved? How are you advancing this cause? You can do that through faithful service to God. If you are serving God sincerely, you are trying to promote His kingdom. And that's what Christ told us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, say, let the kingdom come. So we have to advance the coming of the kingdom, and we can only do that through faithful service to God. And like I said, as a faithful follower of Christ, you can be used by God to impact your local community, even where you live. If you serve God sincerely, God will use you to impact the life of people in your area. Now, another benefit we can see is that you have divine protection and preservation. God will protect you and preserve you in all areas of your life. Regardless of whatever happens to you, if you are serving Him as Psalm 34 was saying, if his word becomes your delight. I remember yesterday we were talking to a woman at our visitation around the mango lane, and this issue came in. We were talking about the Methodist Church. They used to greet their fellow believers. Then the other one will reply, now the apostle. I don't know whether they are still doing it. This is what he's saying. Let God's word be your delight, and yours, God will also take care of yours. And the woman was giving a testimony. I don't know, it's a long story. But basically what he's saying is that he has experienced that in her life. When he left her work to go to the church, and by the time he came back, the work was done. So it is true that if you serve God sincerely, if you take your life in his way, he will also take interest in your work. And then he will protect you, he will preserve you. Let's turn to Psalm 37, verse 25. Psalm 37, verse 25. A very, very common psalm, I'm sure most of you know. This is David speaking. He said, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. This is King David. He said he has been young and he has been old. He has never seen anybody who has been serving God sincerely in want, or his children begging bread. So there is much to gain in faithful service to God. We have a similar one in Psalm 91. We all know Psalm 91. When God will be your refuge, he will protect you, he will guide you, he will direct you. And then our famous one, Matthew 6:33, when he said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, that does not apply to unbelievers. It applies to believers too. If you make God's work your priority, all yours will fall in place. That's what is meant by in Matthew 6:33. And so many other Bible passages that confirm that faithful service to God has many, many, many benefits. So he will give you the divine protection, and here he also provides your basic needs. If you serve, he will provide your basic needs, food, clothing, and shelter. So we never have to worry about those things again, giving your service to God. So when you serve the Lord sincerely, you can be confident that he will protect and preserve you and your family. Especially, that is why it's very important to serve with our whole family, to be faithful in his service. Very soon we are going to show how this is done practically. Now, in doing that, you are also becoming more like Jesus. Because Christ, we saw his work on earth, his whole life was dedicated to his Father. So in also you committing your entire life into the hands of God and serving him sincerely and faithfully, you are becoming more and more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that aligns our heart and our mind with the will of God. And we also develop a very close relationship with God, because you are serving him sincerely, faithfully, and you will find true meaning and purpose in life. The other time I was talking to a young man here outside here, and he was telling me, oh, his work, he goes to do this, and because of that, he doesn't have time for God. And I was telling him, do you know that even the work you are doing now is not the work that God wants you to do? It could be that that's not what God, you can only find what God has planned for you if you come closer to him. You can't just stay outside and say, because of my work, I don't have time for God. What about if you don't have the good health? If you fall sick, can you go and work? But sincerely serving him, he said he will also make your wants his delight. Your life will be transformed, and it will become like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's another quote here by a man called Youthful. He said, to follow Christ is to learn from his character. And he said, as spirit children of our Heavenly Father, we do have the potential to incorporate Christ-like attitudes into our life and character. So you see, in serving God sincerely, you are also developing the attitude and character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Savior really, he invites us to learn from his gospel. All what he's telling us is to apply them in our lives. Same way as we serve the Lord, we should also serve the Lord. With our substances, with our everything, we must serve him sincerely. You also experience miracles in your life. If you are faithful to God, you see many miracles in your life. We are not talking about the kind of miracles our friends are talking about. You see rare things happening in your life that even the laws of nature cannot explain. That's what we call a miracle. You see them in your life, and you can only see them when you are faithful to God, when you are putting faith and you are serving him sincerely. You will see his power in your life. So when you are serving God, you will see more miracles in your life. You will experience a good relationship with God. You will see his power in your life and in everything that you do. You also develop your spiritual gifts if you are sincerely serving God. That's where you will discover them, and that is where you can also develop them. God has spiritual gifts for everybody, but you can discover and develop it when you are faithfully serving him. Otherwise, you will be starved of spirituality. Even though you can come to work at a church and go, if you are not faithful in your service to God, you will never see your spiritual gift that God has given you and develop it. And that same gift God has given you, you can use to also serve others in your community, in your church, in your country. Now, when you serve God sincerely, when you are faithful to God, you also find fulfillment of your life and your purpose. As I've just said, your purpose in life. Some time ago, there was this book, a purpose-driven book. I don't know what people were learning from that book. You can never, never, never know your purpose in this life when you don't get closer to God. He is the one who created you. He is the only one who can show you your purpose. And the purpose, as I've already said, is that we should serve, God created us to come and serve him and enjoy him forever and ever. This is the purpose. And for you to be able to do this, you must get closer to God. And then you can find you can fulfill it. That purpose that God brought you into this world, you can fulfill it when you are faithfully serving him. And like I've just said about this, having your spirituality develop, it will enhance your spiritual growth. It will grow. You will grow spiritually when you give your life and your service to God sincerely. Your character will also develop. You see, as I've already said, God wants us to have a comfortable life in this world and develop as a person. He wants us to grow up spiritually and be like Christ. But this can only happen when you are serving him sincerely, when you devote your life and your everything to him. There are many, many of them. We can't go through all of them, but we'll just look at a few, and then we come to where how we can develop all these things. So how do we serve God faithfully? How do we do that? First, as I said, you have to put him first in your life. And this will demonstrate your love to him. You have to put him first. Is he first in your life in everything that you do? As I was saying this morning, when it is time to go into God's house, go and read Psalm 122. He said he was glad when they said they should go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad to go into the house of the Lord? Is that how your character is on Sundays as compared to your normal working days, your businesses? Do you put God first in everything that you do? That is what he's saying here. To serve God faithfully is to put him first in everything that you do in our lives. And that will demonstrate your love and obedience to him. And then you will receive his blessings and grow closer to him. When you do this, serving God also provides strength in difficult times. There will be difficult times, there will be hard times, but the Bible has said that. Remember, he has said that he will never give you more than you can bear. And even if he gives you, he will make a way out for you to be able to go through. But all this will be possible when you faithfully serve him. So to serve God is to recognize that he is Lord over you. As I've already said, when slaves buy other slaves, they become their servants. He is our Lord. He has purchased us from the slavery to sin. And he is our Lord. And we should recognize it, that he is our Lord. And also have it in our mind, everything that we do, we put him first. So it is imperative that we submit to his authority. Submit to his authority. What is his authority? He wants you to obey his commandments. If you are in the church, you obey the rules of the church. You serve God. That's why there's even the need for church. Otherwise, there'll be no need. That is where you can serve God. You show your love to God in your church. How are you faithful in service to God? What are you doing for God? This is all what Paul teaches us. He said, as Christ, then we are no longer our own. You have been bought with a price, purchased by no less than the blood of Jesus. That's what I was reading from 1 Peter chapter 1 day. We were bought with a price, not a corruptible price, but with the blood of Christ. So we should put him first and recognize that he is our Lord. He is our Lord in everything, in our homes, in our church, in our schools, wherever we are. We also have to align our thoughts with God's thoughts. Let your actions be determined by the way we think. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Christ said, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So it is what is in your heart that comes out. It is what is in you that is shown out. In another translation, he said, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. So is it what you say is what is in your heart? What comes out of your mouth is what is in your mouth. So you have to align our thoughts with God, the thoughts of God, and that is what will show in our lives. We always talk about repentance. And sometimes when we talk about repentance, we think it's about unbelievers. No, it's about believers as well. We repent daily from things that we have done, things that we have said, that it is not good for God. We bring all these things before God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, our Apostle Paul said that we should allow God to transform the way we think. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you align your thoughts with that of God, because, like he said, you are being transformed to be like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why did Paul say this? Because, like I said, the way we think dictates the way we do. And in our society today, there are so many things that influence the way we think, especially the media. If you are not careful, they will deceive you. Sometimes when I'm listening to them, those people on radio and television, and they are talking about scriptures, I just can't understand. They have not been to any Bible college, they haven't learned anything, and yet they speak as if they know everything about the Bible. They explain things to people, and people are listening to them because they are on television, they are on radio. And if you are not careful, they will deceive you. And now, to serve God also means to do his will, and that includes doing what he commands us to do. What he has commanded us to do, we do it. Today I was speaking to somebody, and I was telling him, oh, we have just come from church and we are going back to Sunday school and then prepare for the evening service. And he was saying, what, why are you spending the whole day in church? And I said, go and read the commandment, the fourth commandment, when he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God said, keep it holy. It's a command. And those are the things that we should follow. When God commands us, we should do exactly as he has commanded us. So if God says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, and come to church on Sunday morning and that is it, and the rest of the day is for you and for your business, you are not obeying God's commandment here. He wants you to spend the day with him. So if you come in the morning and that's it, we don't see you again, I don't think you are obeying that fourth commandment. In 1 John chapter 10, verse 27, Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they also follow me." If you are really for God, you hear him and you follow him, you obey his commandments. And one good thing that I learned about Christianity is that if he asks you to do something and it's becoming difficult or impossible with you, pray over it and he will make a way for you. If really you want to serve him, he will make a way. Even if he has to change your job, he will change it to enable you to serve him. If within your heart that is what you want to do, and there are impediments and there are hindrances, take it to the Lord in prayer, and he will do it for you. So how do we find guidance? How do we find guidance as Christians? Today, this afternoon, I was telling my Sunday school children, when the Israelites were going, God was guiding them by the pillar of cloud. We are being guided by the Holy Book, the Bible. That is where our guidance is from. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our life." That is what he is saying here. And it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So our guidance is in the scriptures. We have to read it, and through it, God will guide us. God will direct us. God will enable us to serve him the way that we want to serve him. Apostle Paul said something here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where I want us to be. He said, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." If we pay attention, he said, "Perilous times shall come." Why? Because men shall be lovers of their own selves. If you are loving your own self more than God, or you are loving anything less more than God, you are not obeying his commandments. You are not serving him faithfully. That's what Apostle Paul is saying here. And I'm sure when people read this, their mind goes straight to unbelievers. But really, he's talking about people who have come to say, people who say they are Christians, they are believers. Many do not really think of serving the Lord who has redeemed them. You see, like I said, they always want what God can do for them, but not what they can do for the Lord. And if you are doing that, you are not obeying God. So, practically, within yourself, decide that you are no longer living for yourself, but you are living for Christ. Because you are his slave. He bought you. So decide within yourself that you are no longer living for yourself, but you are living for Christ. Galatians 2 verse 20. It says, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me." You see, Christ has redeemed you to come and serve him. So decide in your heart that you are no more living for yourself, but you are living for Christ. Then let also go all the sins that used to enslave you. We all have our besetting sins. We must get them away. Hebrews 12 verse 1 talk about that. We can't read all, but you can put them down later on. You can check it. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Then you also have to strive to be holy, since you are serving a holy God. If you want to serve a holy God, you yourself must be holy. And how do we do this? The Bible says it in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15. It says, "Be holy, for I am holy." So you can't save a holy God with an unholy life. So be holy. Decide to be holy. Then you have to discover your spiritual gifts. I've already said it. You can only discover it through your service to God. Be planted in a church where your gifts will be useful. Your gifts will be useful in a church. Those who think that they can serve God in their houses, you have to belong to a church where your gifts will be useful. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 to 30. Then learn more about God's will. That's why I said the Bible is our guidance. Learn about the will of God in the scriptures. And then align your plans with God's calling for you. God called you to serve him. So align your plans to that calling that God has called you into his service. and above all, be prayerful. Like I've already said, without him, we can do nothing. With him, all things are possible. So, in all this, the most effective means is prayer. Pray to God to enable you to serve him faithfully and sincerely from your heart, and then see all these benefits in your life. Otherwise, you will never see them. You can never see all these blessings from God if you don't commit your life and then serve him sincerely. My prayer is that from now on, we'll all take a decision to commit our lives, our everything, into the hands of God and serve him sincerely as he requires of us.